know you all can't see the view that I can see as I look towards the camera, but I see all the pictures that we have in our pews right now, and you have palms. So know that if you've been wanting palms and you have your picture, you've given your picture to us, there's a palm sitting right next to your picture right now. So props to Father Piega for coming up with that creative solution on this Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a way that we celebrate at the beginning normally the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem with that great praise of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's a great opportunity of how we can praise God and remember how when Jesus triumphantly entered that he was being hailed as a king, that it was a time of great triumph. But then we just heard of the passion narrative and of how everything changed, how it seemed as if the one who was the symbol of so much hope for so many people was utterly defeated. I think with all that we're experiencing right now, perhaps before the recent stay-at-home orders, you were thinking to yourself, life was going pretty well. Maybe things had been going even very well. And it was like there was that moment of that triumph that was happening. And then all this other stuff has hit. And now it seems to have changed very quickly. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've had that moment of where you were excited that the kids were going to be home more, and now you're thinking to yourself, oh dear Lord, when is school going to start again? Maybe you've had that moment of being excited that your spouse would be able to stay at home and work from home, and now you're thinking to yourself, maybe this isn't as much fun, or you've started to have different areas of the house that are from this time to this time, you're not allowed to enter into this space. There are these different ways that we're struggling and we're trying to adjust to the reality we face right now. I would say all of us have some type of a passion that we're experiencing. I know that there are medical professionals who are working very hard right now, that they are having to make some very hard choices, that there's a passion that they're going through. These are the things in the moments of our lives where especially we offer this to God. And it's important when we experience this and to enter into the passion that we practice what the church calls relational prayer. Relational prayer is when we acknowledge whatever it is we're experiencing. So if we feel powerless, if we feel helpless, we acknowledge that. We literally say that to God. Or we say, I'm angry. We say, I'm sad. We say, we're lonely. We acknowledge what is it. So often as human beings, we don't take time to acknowledge what it is we're thinking, we're feeling, we're desiring, and that's when it overwhelms us. We don't acknowledge. So I encourage all of us to acknowledge whatever it is that we think, we feel, we desire, we want at this time. But then after acknowledging that, to relate that to God. Sometimes if the emotion is very strong, the way we relate it to God is we cry out to God. Literally, as we heard Jesus did, crying out to God the Father, my God, why have you abandoned me? That is a relational prayer. It expresses what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what it is we're wanting. So to relate that, sometimes it comes in anger with a yell, sometimes with sadness with a tear, sometimes with joy, with laughter. Whatever it is we're experiencing, we relate that to God. But then we receive, we listen then. What is it God wants to speak to us? And then we respond. It becomes a dialogue that we can enter into. And a very good way to pray with the passion, if you want to go back over the passion later, is to practice what's called imaginative prayer. Enter into the passion by taking on a particular character of the passion. So there are moments when I pray with the passion, and sometimes I'm a bystander. Sometimes I find myself just identifying especially with Jesus. Sometimes I find myself identifying more with Pontius Pilate, with Peter, with Judas, with the weeping women. I find that whenever we engage in imaginative prayer with the passion narrative, we enter in more fully. So I encourage you, if you've never prayed with the passion in that way, to do so, to see which character in the passion at this moment of your life are you especially drawn to, and see what happens. Enter into the passion by using your spiritual senses. What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste? What is it you hear from the accusations the crowd as Jesus is going through that passion? Maybe you're one of those that's weeping when Jesus is experiencing that. Maybe you're one of those that you are egging it on at that time. At different moments and stages of our lives, we enter into the passion in a different way. And just encourage using imaginative prayer in that way. During this Lenten season, we've been reflecting on the seven deadly sins. And the last of the deadly sins that we're reflecting on this week is the deadly sin of wrath and its false god of control. Each of the seven deadly sins has a false god that we put in the place of the one true God. I think it's apropos that we are experiencing a lot of loss of control right now. There's a lot of things we cannot control with what's going on with the virus, with the different orders and responses, etc. And as human beings, whenever something is outside of our control, it's easy for us to react with anger. We can become angry at those moments. And anger is not a sin. It's not sin to be angry. Anger is a valid human emotion that God has given us. Even Jesus became angry, as is well documented in the scriptures, in particular in the cleansing of the temple. Wrath is different. Wrath is when we seek to take control. Jesus never sought to take control away from someone else by any kind of force, whether verbally or with physical actions. We sometimes, though, can fall into the deadly sin of wrath because we seek to exert control upon others. So, for example, you might find that there are certain things in your house that someone is moving or etc., and you're finding yourself getting a little bit more upset than normal. You're becoming a little bit more touchy, a little bit more sensitive. That's natural, because as we have places where we're not able to control, we tend to exert more control in the areas where we can, or sometimes we'll even start to step into someone else's area and seek control in that place to compensate for the way that we feel out of control in other areas of our lives. I know for myself personally that just as it's been hard these recent weeks for everyone, it's been hard for me. Probably the biggest cross that I've had to bear is when I've not been able to go and give last rites to pray for those who are dying, in particular in the hospitals, twice now. I've had to offer the prayers I would normally offer in person over a telephone. And I'll be honest, there have been moments while even though I understand why these particular procedures are in place, I've been angry at some of the hospital administrators or other individuals who made that decision because I can't control it. But then in those moments, what I have to do is surrender control to God and to say, God, yes, this particular thing is outside of my control, but what is it that I can do? I can still pray for this person, both in intercession and praying over the phone, and God, make up for any ways that it's hard for me because I can't see or have that contact in that same way, or it might be hard for them that I'm not able to be there physically present. Make up for that, Lord. Even though this is outside of my control, it's not outside of your control, God. And that's the key when we face these situations, is we offer a prayer of surrender to God. If we surrender to God, we're able to move in the way that God would want in particular situations, and everything changes. New doors open up, new windows, new avenues, things we never would have been able to think of or to do ourselves, but once we surrender and we give that space, something else moves and changes. So I encourage all of us, whenever we face that place of not having control, to offer a prayer of surrender. One of my favorite ways to do that is to take a cross. And I remember those words that our Lord offered. My God, why have you abandoned me? That's what we can feel a lot of times. When it seems like we have a loss of control, that can be our response. We can feel abandoned, we can feel upset, we can feel sad, all those things that went through Jesus's heart and his human nature when he experienced the passion. We enter into it with Jesus in that moment by holding that cross. But then we have to remember, when Jesus died, he gave up his spirit. He surrendered to God the Father. Jesus never surrendered to Satan. He never surrendered to evil. He only surrendered to his heavenly Father. And when we hold that cross and we offer a prayer of surrender in our own way, that's what we do. We say, God, I am surrendering this situation, this circumstance, this person, whatever it is at this time that I can't control. I offer this. I surrender this to you. And once we do that, we give God permission to grant us a peace instead. Things change. Things shift when we offer a prayer of surrender in many times, sometimes even miraculous ways. Because God does want to help us. God is most certainly present. And God has not abandoned or left us. Just we have to let go many times. And that is hard. As we enter into this Holy Week, I invite all of us to enter more fully into the Passion narrative with whatever it is that we have. To acknowledge, to relate these things to God, to receive and to respond as God would invite us. Maybe to enter into Scripture using imaginative prayer to see what character it is we especially identify with. And to remember that whenever something is outside of our control, anger is an okay response. It's normal. It's natural to be angry. But that we need to be on guard of not allowing anger to go into the deadly sin of wrath. And of when we feel out of control, of seeking to take control over others. But instead, to offer a prayer of surrender, to imitate Jesus on the cross, of letting go to God.